Welcome to the Hot Ticket Podcast. This is episode 132. On this episode, we break down the Laranja Reserva Escuro by Espinoza. It's been a long time since we've had and featured an Espinoza. I think we may have featured one on the podcast a while back. I can't really remember, but we certainly have a written review on one. But nonetheless, it's been a while since we've actually broke down an Espinoza cigar. So this was actually pretty fun. And this cigar is dark, it's bold, it's beautiful. So we hope you guys enjoy the review. Also got a hilarious story from Chris's New Year's fun. Well, it's a shared New Year's fun between myself, him, and my wife. So we hope you guys enjoy the episode. Let's get into it. We have like a ton of fucking material, just in outtakes alone.
Yeah, probably. Why do I look like I'm about to hunt a deer?
Yeah, I don't know why you're dressed like that.
I don't know. I figured I was going to be smoking outside today, so I was like, let's just dress warm.
Why would you smoke outside?
Because.
Why wouldn't you just go to a lounge?
Because I got kale today.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh, like you're going to go out in like the patio.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. I was like, what?
Yeah.
I thought you were intentionally trying to smoke outside, which would be...
No, weird. I would never intentionally.
Yeah, that'd be a goofy thing to do. So yesterday, it was kind of funny. I was sitting at my computer and somebody I work with sent me a message and was just like, hey, are you excited about this war? I was like, what are you talking about?
Did they really get that political that quickly?
Well, no. I mean, this particular person wasn't trying to argue politics. Oh. They were just like making fun of the situation.
No.
About like what happened. I was like, I don't even know what you're talking about. He's like, check the news. And I look at the news. I'm like, oh, fucking A.
Like, yeah.
Here we go. So, yeah, there's that. So I'm hoping 2020, you know, comes peacefully, but not a good start. Not a good start.
And I ran so far away. We're going to bomb away.
Yeah, I was like, fuck me in the ass, man. That is like...
Go fig.
Well, honestly, I didn't really want to like... Not that I don't care. I care, but it's just like it was like Friday morning at like 8:30.
That's the worst.
I don't want to do this now.
Why
this? I don't even have my coffee yet.
Yeah. Dude, I'm not even awake until I have coffee.
Yeah, it was hard for me to comprehend. I was like, what war? And then I was like, oh, okay, that guy. Okay.
But it pops up every 10 years anyway. Like it's some surprise.
Like war is cyclical almost.
Yeah. Like yeah, it's really some surprise that we're having conflict with them again.
Yeah, part of me is just like, we'll do it for the oil. They're all pissed off. There's no clear winner in any of it, so.
But I do know. Like the band Iran, that has that like... you know,
there's a band called Iran.
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Did not know that. Happy New Year's to everybody.
Happy New Year.
It is a happy nude year. That's my resolution to go fully nude. So 2020 is going to be a happy nude year.
It was important to set my expectations low on my New Year's resolution.
Do you have a New Year's resolution?
Yes, I do. This year I have a New Year's resolution. It is to make it to my 34th birthday.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You said that, which isn't exactly like a month and 2 weeks from now.
It's going to be a challenge.
I said that to someone the other day. I go, they asked me any New Year's resolutions, and I was like, don't die.
Yeah.
That's about the only one I have. Now, I'm not a huge believer in resolutions, and I've said this before. I've probably actually said this on the podcast. The reason I'm not is it's like anything that I want to achieve, I just start doing it. I don't wait to do something.
Yeah.
If there's something I want to do and commit myself to doing it, I'll just do it. But I think sometimes it is nice to have just something to balance you out. I think New Year's resolutions are better in the sense that let's not make them of like super importance. Like there's some people who are like, I'm 600 pounds. I need to lose weight or I'll die. That's their resolution. I say have a lowered expectation of importance. Like for me, it's almost like, like what could a random resolution be like? How about like go pick at the abortion clinic three times this year as opposed to once. Yeah. You know, not that I do that. I'm just saying I'm using it as an example. It could be make a concerted effort to eat more chocolate covered peanuts.
Yeah.
Like you could make resolutions. I think if you add a layer in there that lacks importance,
yeah,
they would almost be funner to follow. But everybody dives in the fucking deep end. It's like January 1, going to the gym, gonna lose some weight. It's like, dude, you haven't prepped yourself for how arduous of a task that really is, which is why most people fall off
after the first week.
After the first week, they're pretty much toast.
Hey Corey, what's LG's New Year's resolution? 16K. You like that joke?
Yeah, that was funny. That was actually pretty awful, but
it's clever.
I mean, it was okay. I wouldn't go as far as to say it's clever, but it was all right. Decent joke.
It's one of those ones you get on the popsicles.
Yeah, the bottom of a
That's where
cap.
Comedians go to die, is popsicle sticks.
Yeah, it's like, what do you do for a living? I'm a writer. Like, oh, what do you write for? Well, I'm a comedic writer. Oh, do you write for a show? It's like, no, you know those popsicles that you get at the grocery stores that are really terrible? Yeah, I write the jokes for those.
It makes my mouth feel funny when I get down to the wood. And I'm sucking on the wood. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
It feels
yeah.
like it dries out my mouth. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you.
Oh, God,
that
I hate
shit's kind of, it's a little yuck, yuck.
It's making my mouth feel funny.
Yeah, I don't like it either. I'm with you on that. That's I like popsicles in a sleeve. I don't like popsicles on a stick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like the ones where I can just like in a little plastic sleeve.
I love a good Flintstones push-up.
Oh, a push-pop?
Push-pop, yeah.
Yeah, push-pops are great because it's not really a popsicle. It's more like creamy.
Creamy gooiness. All of them are good too. Strawberry, grape, orange.
Oh, yeah. There's not a bad one. I would literally eat those
cherry
all the time.
So good.
Very delicious. So you have no other New Year's resolutions other than make it till 34?
Yeah. Because I had one hell of a start.
You actually did have a good start. You could have literally died that night.
I could have.
Why don't you explain to everybody what happened? Explain to everybody what happened New Year's Eve and as we rolled into the morning of New Year's Day.
Now, I do firmly believe that there's other powers at play.
Now, let me pause real quick and say, if you make any excuses as to why what happened, I will fucking roast you.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Any excuses, roasted.
You know I'm responding like a child who's going to test the boundaries.
Go for it. Make your excuses. Go ahead.
We went to a New Year's party. It was drinks and delicious food and some games, drinking games. And then at some point we're like, well, it's time to go. Okay, let's go.
Not at some point, at like 2 a.m.
Yeah, it was 2 a.m. Yeah, sorry. So it was games and people getting tired and Corey and Lauren were being responsible and they decided to drive. And we're like, okay, so.
Well, we didn't both drive.
Well,
it doesn't take two people to drive a truck.
Well.
One person was being responsible, being my wife.
Back in the day, one person used to hold the map. The other person used to drive.
I was less responsible.
Like a rally
driver.
But
also very sober.
Yeah.
At this point.
Anyways, so I get in the truck and I'm sitting in the back seat. And I realized that on the drive home, which is about the equivalent of 45 minutes. I was starting to feel real ookie.
Now, before we get into your ookiness, let's also remember the question I asked you before we left. Do you remember that question, Chris?
Yes.
What was that question?
Don't throw up in my truck.
No, that's not a question. That's a statement.
Oh.
I said, Chris, are you going to throw up in my truck? And you responded,
no.
Nah, I'm good. I'm like, are you sure? And I doubled down on this and I said, hey, are you sure you're okay and you're not going to throw up in my truck? And you responded,
no.
Okay. Continue with your story.
So 45 minutes, I'm realizing that I'm getting sick in the truck and I'm trying to keep it together. And I realized at some point that getting very close to Corey's place, I was like, it's going to come soon. Just keep it together. Just get out of the goddamn truck first.
Now, at what point and where were we at when you started to think this?
Like literally coming off of Austin Landing.
Okay, so proximity to my house, we'd say about a mile and a half, 2 miles.
Probably, yeah.
Okay, continue.
So like we're getting off of Austin Landing, and I'm like, just fucking keep it together. We're almost there. And then the worst happens. Wearing my nice khaki slacks and my nice black sweater. I'm like, oh boy, it's time to eject. And I tried to turn my shirt into a bag of sorts. like a plastic bag. But it's a porous bag, so I proceed to vomit into my shirt. Literally right down the street from Corey's house.
Yeah, so at this particular time, and when she starts throwing up, we were probably, I would say, 700-800 feet from my driveway.
Yeah.
No warning from Chris at all. Zero. Here's how my wife and I found out that you were throwing up. I was kind of pissed because I was really thirsty at the time. And I thought you were chugging a bottle of water. Because it literally sounded like... And Lauren looks over at me and goes, does Chris have water? And she turns around and goes, and just looks at me very calmly and goes, nah, he's just throwing up on himself. I was, and as she was saying this, I was pulling into my driveway.
Yeah, it was like, it was, yeah, I was.
But this is, here's my reenactment of you.
It sounds so bad in audio. It sounds so bad. Not
and then I'm pulling, and it sounded just like that. And I'm pulling into the driveway. I get out and I open the back door, and this is you. With vomit.
With my head down, basically.
Everywhere. Your head's down. You're covered.
I basically was holding my fucking shirt like a basket.
Yeah, I mean, you were barely alive at that point.
Yeah.
I was thinking, this is definitely going to be alcohol poisoning. You're pretty fucked up. And after that, so the saga continues of the first day of the year, which Chris, you know, doing his best to striving to get to 34 years old is not off to a good start.
No.
And so, you know what's weird is that through the entire situation, I remained pretty calm.
You're very calm.
And I'm not a calm person.
But here's what's fucked up. I remember like all of it. That's why I think there was other powers at play here. Because if I was drunk.
Do you remember what I said about excuses?
I know. I know.
The evidence would prove and show that there are not other powers at play. And I watched you play all those drinking games. And I watched you severely lose at most of them. I saw the amount of alcohol intake that you had throughout the night. That's going to make anyone throw up.
That's true.
Now, I'm not saying you were so far inebriated drunk that was going to cause you to throw up. I think what it was the combination of food and the different types of alcohol that you consumed, especially in a short period of time with all that beer at the
end. That's true.
I think that's what made you throw up.
What game were we playing?
I don't think you were superiorly drunk. No. I think you were drunk for sure, but you weren't like stumbling when we got out of the car or anything like that.
No, I was pretty coherent. Like, it was just, I felt like shit.
We played a game called Boom. That's fucking got murdered in that game.
You basically bounce balls into the cup, and then you drink. If the person behind you sets you up, and they basically like come up behind you and get in the cup first before you do, then you have to drink. And so that's what was happening.
Yeah.
And then everybody thought it would be funny to just keep passing the cup behind me.
Well, in all fairness, you weren't making it.
I know.
You were doing,
which is a fair rule of the game.
You were playing terribly.
Yeah.
So all of that happened previously to this throw up event. But I want to fast forward to the part where not only
I'm
do
out
I,
of the truck.
I commend myself for remaining very calm, mm-hmm. because in any other situation, especially if someone throws up in my car, I'm likely to light them up, like physically.
Oh, yeah.
Like I really wanted to punch you in your face so hard. Because I immediately went back to before we left that house and said, Chris, are you sure you're okay? Like it was ringing in my ears.
Yeah.
And then in my driveway, you're...
Oh,
So at this point, you're covered in your own puke. I pull up my truck. It's the most horrendous smell, which, by the way, is still lingering in my truck. I've not driven my truck since.
I owe Corey a detail.
I'm getting it detailed on Monday. And happy New Year's to me.
I did have a New Year's resolution. It was to save money, and apparently that's already failing.
Yeah, you're off to a bad start here. I have to clean up my entire truck. Now, I'm getting it detailed, so that's good. But, so not only do I have to pull you out of the truck, mm-hmm. but then there is chunks of your throw-up, like, mashed in my seatbelt that had fallen. Honestly, and I know you didn't know this, and I probably should have prefaced, if you would have just thrown up in my floor liner, mm-hmm. because it's one of the, like, durable...
Plastic? Oh,
it's like
fuck.
It's like the really nice, durable floor liners. Yeah. I did an upgrade when I bought the truck. It would have been fine. I could have literally just taken it, washed it off, the whole thing would have been done. You'd never thrown up on your clothes, never would have gotten on my seatbelt. You could have just leaned forward and just let it go.
Yeah.
I guess if there's my bad in any of this, it's that. Right?
Sure.
So anyway, pull you out of the truck, covered in puke, get your shirt off, and you're literally standing
pulled out too.
In my yard like a zombie. Hold on. I'm going to just do like a quick. This is what you look like.
I'm going to just describe what he's doing for you.
You're just like.
Ooh, it's like the... It's like in Mortal Kombat when you lose the match and they're in a finishing pose.
That's exactly what it was like. And you stood there. So here's the funniest part is that I am attempting now to clean out my truck. Lauren goes and gets me cleaning supplies. I'm trying to get all this nastiness out of the truck.
We were out there for a good 10, 15 minutes.
We were out there for a good chunk of time.
Yeah.
And you're just standing in that pose like a zombie. And then at one point you look at me and go, I'll help you clean up your truck. And I literally go, shut the fuck up. Get inside. I tell you to get inside mm-hmm. and you're still standing in the yard like a zombie.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, I could leave you out there for 2 hours and you'd still be in that pose.
Dude, I didn't feel nothing.
It was like herding cattle because you wouldn't listen to me. You're just standing there like just weed.
I felt bad.
I mean, you should, but at the same time, it was also 30 degrees outside and you got to get, you're covered in puke. It's on your pants too. You're still in your pants.
But I had that faux like alcohol warmth, you know, where people say they feel warm when they drink alcohol, you're really like going hypothermic.
Yeah, for sure.
That's literally what I was in.
Now, here's another funny thing. What did we eat that night?
Fucking amazing food.
It was great food. The food was phenomenal.
Souffle, was it?
Sous vide.
Steak. Really nice cuts of steak. This mushroom mix dish of veggies and mushrooms.
Some broccoli. We had some
fresh
scallops.
Broccoli, some really good scallops and mashed potatoes.
We had a probably the best lemon cake I've ever had in my life.
I never had a piece. I don't remember having a piece.
Dude, it was unfucking believable.
Yeah, I don't
think
I had a piece.
So a friend of ours, his girlfriend made dinner. She did an amazing job. It's great food. Now, I think what I want to relate here as far as the severity of the throw up, and you could imagine eating that kind of food, and here we are 4 or 5 hours later, it's not fully digested. So we have medium rare cuts of meat.
Yeah, they were definitely...
That have been exhausted from your body.
They were borderline rare, which was fine. It was delicious.
We have scallops that are undigested, which looked like stomach lining. I'm not going to lie, when they came out.
Yeah, they looked...
intermixed with broccoli. Now, here's the thing.
And bleached. They were
if you're watching this episode on YouTube or other right now, I'm literally right now posting a picture.
Right here.
Posting a picture of Chris's undigested throw up. Still in my yard days fucking
if
later.
If you look at this here, it looks like when you tear apart an owl pellet and you see like all these weird bits and bones of like animals that owls have been eating on. It's pretty fugly looking. I didn't realize it was from me at first. I had no idea it was from me.
Yeah,
I thought someone shredded a small critter and left it in the yard.
I sent Chris and a couple of friends the picture, and I go, anybody can guess what this is? Get surprised. And now Dave was pretty close. He was pretty close in saying it looked like something from like a raccoon threw up. One of those trash pandas. But it was really just you.
It was just me.
It's still in my yard because I don't want to touch it. I touched enough of your throw up. I don't want to touch it again. I'm just going to hope and pray that the elements dissolve it quickly.
Or raccoons eat it.
Or raccoons eat it, which even animals have not chewed on that yet. That's how fucking what's crazy. Pungent
if,
it was.
If you still look at this diagram here, this image, you will notice that all of it is actually bleached. Like the alcohol and stomach acids
literally
bleached every bit of this food.
There was no color.
There was no color to it.
It was really gross. So anyway, fast forward a bit. We get you inside. We get your clothes off. I washed your clothes twice and they still smelled so bad.
They're good now.
I put them on a sterilizer cycle the second time and they still fucking stunk. It was so gross, so pungent. It was, you dropped this coat on our carpet downstairs, which had like one piece of just a chunk, like right here. And that whole area right there smelled for like 2 days. Ugh. We had to burn a candle on the table to get it to go away. It was the worst smelling throw up I've ever smelled in my life. You should go smell my truck. I left the windows down in my truck for 2 days.
Yeah.
And it's still just sitting in there.
Stomach acid's a bitch.
I mean, it's fucking horrendous. So anyway, finally get you. Well, we didn't get you to bed. I got you upstairs.
Yeah.
You stayed in our guest room, but you were in the bathroom for hours.
I was in there until probably like 5 a.m.
Yeah, we got home at 3.
I purposely just stayed and slept around the toilet. Because as soon as we got back, I was like, I know I'm going to get sick again. So there's no sense in fucking getting up out of the bed each time to like throw up. So I just like, I'm going to fucking lay here. And I threw up multiple times. And
I could have just put you a pillow in the bathtub.
And then I threw up multiple times getting home the next day.
Jesus Christ.
It was probably alcohol poisoning.
It for sure was, I think.
Or... no excuses. I'm just saying. I'm just speculating. There was a bad stomach bug going around.
Nope.
And Kale had it like days before.
Nope.
And I was like, maybe alcohol with stomach bug is like the worst fucking cocktail of craziness.
Now that would be hilarious if that is exactly what happened, because it's two things trying to kill you on the first day of the year.
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. I was pretty dehydrated. I couldn't keep anything. I couldn't keep water down.
Oh, that's the next worst. Day. Yeah, that's the worst. That's the worst.
So, but yeah, I'm back.
It was putrid. The whole experience was, I can laugh at it now, but honestly, when we just first started talking about it, I got super angry again.
Yeah.
I got very angry because I was like, I made one rule, just one. That was it.
Yeah.
And make any other rules beyond that. It's the one rule on the first day of the year.
I think all of us have thrown up in a car. You know?
Yeah, I've thrown up in my own car. It's horrendous.
I think we've all done it, and every one of us will experience it at some point in our life, and it sucks terribly. It's like the worst thing ever, and it's the worst when you're so close to the finish line.
Yeah.
And you just like can't hold. It's like your body knows you're close to home. It's like, fuck it. You're already close. Just fucking do it. You know?
Yeah.
But it was a bad experience.
It was bad for everybody.
Yeah.
Very bad for everybody.
I want to make an official apology to my brother. And his wife and his truck. Sometimes when you get older, you think you're more mature. And you just still manage to make dumb decisions.
Yeah.
That remind you that you need to stay on your game of maturity.
Mm-hmm.
And I will promise going into... soft promise. I'll soft promise that going into 2020, I will be much more responsible with my alcohol drinking. And obviously, I'm going to repay Corey or pay him for damaging his vehicle because it was damaged.
Oh, dude, I would probably say on the order of vandalism. I bet my seat right now is like falling. It's like probably tearing itself apart.
It's probably
apart.
Like more like vandalism. I think if like a cop had to arrest me right now, if I was a stranger and I threw up in your car.
Yeah.
Without you knowing or wanting me to.
Yeah, that'd be vandalism.
They'd probably arrest me for vandalism.
Yeah.
So for sure. For vandalizing Corey's car, I'm going to send him a $120 voucher for a... detailing full car detailing.
I'm literally just gonna tell him, I need you to really concentrate on this area.
Yeah.
I need you to spend 75% of your time right in this
right
2
in that
feet
spot.
I really need that gone.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Anyway, so we do have a cigar review today.
Yep.
We're breaking down the Espinosa, the Ronja Reserva Oscuro.
Yeah.
Did I get that right?
That is right. La Ronja Reserva Escuro.
That's a 2019 release, correct?
Yes.
So this is...
Say that six times fast.
So second edition of the original Aranja. Of course, the blend is completely different. Obviously, in Oscuro, it's much darker than the original Aranja.
Yeah.
But let's get into it. But before we do so, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back at you guys in just a minute with a wonderful review. Actually, the very first review of 2020.
Oh, my word.
How crazy is that?
I like that.
All right. We'll be back at you in just a second. Hang tight.
I am struggling a bit. I've been feeling really overwhelmed when I walk into the humidor. There's just too many cigars to choose from, and I never know what to pick. I'll get the hot flashes, my IBS begins to act up from all the pressure of it. It'd be really nice if someone could just choose for me.
Well, have you ever heard of My Cigar Pack?
What in the dickens is My Cigar Pack?
Well, I'll tell you. My Cigar Pack is a premium cigar club designed to cater unique packs to your door through an innovative platform that takes all the guesswork out of choosing those perfect cigars.
Right you are, Corey. They send you five individual premium cigars, a reusable pouch with a Beveda pack, and an add-on item that complements your experience.
You can choose from three different options, a mild medium pack, or a medium full pack, and My Cigar Pack works hand-in-hand with real cigar experts and manufacturers to design each monthly combination.
Yeah, and you can choose between their monthly subscription pack for $39.99 or a one-time purchase for $49.99, and shipping is always complimentary.
Visit MyCigarPack.com today to sign up now. New customers will receive $10 off their first order. That's up to a 25% savings off your first pack. Type in promo code HOT10 at checkout to receive your $10 off. Again, visit MyCigarPack.com and enter promo code HOT10 at checkout to receive $10 off your first purchase. Get it, dongers. All right, and we're back. We're back, and we got a review. Before we get into it, though, I would like to say a sincere thanks for everybody who listened to the podcast over the holidays. The holidays aren't always conducive for podcast listening because you're so busy, you're spending time with your family.
Yes.
We expected a little, I expected a little bit of a decline in listenership and downloads just because of that. And that is not what happened at all. It was actually the exact opposite happened. And we actually, this past week, had our biggest episode by far. So our 2019 recap, our 2019 Top Cigars, episode 131, was by far our biggest episode. We've had some really big episodes. That one was the biggest one, hands down.
That's awesome.
And it was really cool. We got a lot of really good feedback from people. Heard a lot of people say, now this is a really good top 10. And again, we did top five of 2019. We did our top 10 reviewed in 2019, which is inclusive of any year. And then we did our community scores, which went off. That was a fucking hit.
Yeah.
I love the fact there's not many people. The biggest publications are not doing community scored cigars. We wanted to throw it out there because we think it's crucially important to get the feedback of the collective cigar community as a whole. And I'll tell you what, that was great. That was fucking awesome. Like the fact that I think people feel that they had a chance to participate and to influence the outcome, I think was really cool. And you could tell by the feedback that everybody was giving that they were just like, this is fucking great. So it ended up being a wonderful episode. And of course, you can get the reviews and you can see all those top lists on our website. But it was just, I like the most sincere appreciation for people listening, people going to the website and looking at the reviews and reading them and listening to the podcasts that are attached to each one. I mean, I can't thank everybody enough for like just being a part of that with us just over the course of a year. Because the website launched May of last year. Of course, we've been doing the podcast a lot longer, but all those things really coming together and having people participate in it was really fucking cool.
Yeah, man. If I had a song play right now just to talk about the synergy and love that's being shared through this platform and through all the people around the world tuning in, it would be that Michael Jackson song. You know, that
we are the world.
Yeah.
We are the children.
I love a good MJ.
Yeah.
I love a good MJ
song. I feel the love.
Yeah, there's definitely definitely a lot of love.
I want to give it back.
There's definitely a lot of love. And again, I thought it was really cool just the feedback that everybody was given. Like, you know, I said, and I don't know, I like posted something on a story and I said, fuck all the other stupid publications. And then, of course, I put in there, I apologize for that.
Yeah.
But I wanted to try to achieve something a little bit unique out of what some of the other places do. And we put a lot of time and intention into it, but in a different way. And I think it was a way that super well received. So thank you, everybody, again. I cannot thank you enough, but I keep saying it, but I'll probably say it again. Now let's get into this fucking review, all right? This is the Laranja Reserva Oscuro by Espinosa. And it's been a long time since we've reviewed an Espinosa cigar. Now, we've reviewed a lot of stuff from that is produced at the factory, which is typically the Lozona factory, which a lot of the Espinosa cigars come out of. We've reviewed a lot of those, inclusive Cornelius and Anthony protocol cigars and one or two intermixed Espinosa cigars over a period of time. But Espinosa branded cigars, the last one we did was actually the original Laranja.
Yeah.
That was a while ago. It's been a while.
That orangish hue wrapper.
Yeah, beautiful in color.
Yeah.
One of the highest rated cigars out there. It's made Cigar Aficionado's top 10, I believe, in the past. I would say it's probably Espinosa's most popular cigar. So I was curious in picking this one, how it would stack up, not only to the original Laranja, but how it would actually either differ itself or create some similarities in some of the other Espinosa cigars.
Mm-hmm.
So before we get into the breakdown, Chris, how do we actually break these down?
Each cigar review starts with a total of 60 possible points and is broken down into three main categories: 10 points for construction, 20 points for burn, and 30 points for flavor. We then deduct points for less than optimal construction, burn, and flavor, and see if the cigar is worth the price for a possible 1% bonus or deduction. Then finally, we average out our individual scores, giving you guys our total cigar rating out of 60.
Nice.
Welcome to 2020.
Welcome to 2020. This is the Laranja Reserva Oscuro by Espinosa. Now, one difference that I want to make note of on this particular cigar is it wasn't manufactured at the Lozona factory, which is odd. It was actually manufactured at the San Latano factory.
What would San Latano do if he was here today? He'd make a Laranja Reserva Oscuro too.
That's what San Latano do. I like that. That was great. What I really like about this cigar, and I guess what caught my attention initially in wanting to smoke it and break it down, was the fact that it had a Brazilian wrapper on it. I really am digging the Brazilian tobacco.
Yeah.
Some of my favorite. And of course, not unlike most Espinosa cigars, boasts a Nicaraguan binder and a Nicaraguan filler combination. And we spoke to Notoro 6x52. Comes in at an $11 price point.
At that box press Toro, nonetheless.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's good stuff. Let's get into it. All right, so what did you think about the construction overall? And I will preface in the fact that from an appearance perspective, this is an Oscuro. They call it an Oscuro.
Yeah.
But it is a very, very dark wrapper. It is super dark. Fucking dark. Midnight dark.
Midnight dark.
What did you think about the construction overall?
Honestly, flawless, Corey. I think if you take a look at this diagram here, I'm going to make your life a living hell and post.
Stop doing that. I'm just not going to post anything up there.
If you look at this close-up of the Brazilian Modafita, the Oscuro wrapper, it was fucking flawless. For even a box press, it's a fucking pretty rigid cigar. Most box presses have a little bit of give on the sides there. But this one was actually pretty well stacked for a fucking box press. Beautiful dark leaf veins running all through it. And it was kind of like a mixture of like dark and milk chocolate. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
something about the Brazilian Modafita, especially the aging of this, had a real, real, real dark marbling to it.
Yeah.
And it was fucking beautiful. And with that little bit light band at the tip. Right at the tip.
I actually like that. I like the one that they put at the foot, which is that real light blue.
Yeah, that and just like the pop of the Espinosa brand on the label. What a fucking gorgeous construction. Beautifully constructed.
Yeah.
Amazingly constructed.
I would agree with you. The only issue that I had with mine was just a little bit of a cat peel at the top. Looked like a little bit of lazy cap, which I keep seeing more and more these days. It's driving me nuts. So it's like when I do see a cap structure on a cigar that is pretty much perfect or flawless, I get really excited about it because everything else has just been kind of like sloppily done. This one had a little bit of a wrapper peel at top. It just looked like not enough glue binded because I can't remember if this was a triple cap or a double cap, but the top cap was peeling away from the secondary layer, which just tells me you're just not using enough glue to keep it down. Hmm. It just seemed like it was lazily placed. But
are you Shuro?
I'm Shuro Oscuro. Now, other than that, I do agree with you, Curtis, in the fact that this is just an absolutely beautiful cigar. And really, the cap piece of it is what it is. I mean, we pay attention to it, but it didn't really affect anything on the cigar because I cut right at that cap anyway.
Yeah.
Just something to note. But the rest of the cigar, amazingly constructed.
Yes.
And really, really beautiful. All from an appearance perspective is absolutely awesome.
Yes, 100%. Flawless for me.
Yeah. So what did you think about the burn?
Fuck. Nice, light, gray ash with very, you know, it's kind of... It was a very even and consistent burn, even for box press. Most box presses, weirdly enough, I do kind of get weird runs on them. Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
Yeah, it happens.
But I do. But this is a nice 1-2 puffer, and it produces a lot of smoke. And when I mean a lot, I mean like pro athlete lot. Like if I had to stack up a bunch of people in a line, ranging from never played sports in my life to... I'm a pro athlete at the topest level, like top level, like MVP level. This is like on the MVP level. It was absurdo. How much smoke production came out of this box presses, like, was absurdo.
Yeah.
It's a fucking amazing burn. And with that said, it was a nice kind of airy draw. It wasn't too much. Just enough restriction on it that you actually felt like you were actually truly sucking like a Hoover, but not like, you know, it's not like... You're not straining your eyeballs. It was kind of like for a box press, it, not overly airy, which I actually appreciated about it.
Yeah.
And did it hold the? Did it pass the whole test? Yeah, of course. It's a box press, and it's like when you have such when you have a 1-2 puffer. When I give you the cues, a 1-2 puffer, that means it takes very little effort to produce smoke. And when it takes very little effort of smoke, there's a fucking real good chance. That is going to pass the whole test with flying colors. And it absolutely did for me.
Yeah. I agree with you as far as it smoked superbly or superbo. I do agree with you as far as in terms of you actually had the same experience on the draw that I did too. I offered up enough resistance, but huge full plumes of smoke. Actually, the draw is something that I made special attention and note on in this particular cigar because it seemed to be as close to perfection you'd want as a draw. That typically doesn't happen. It does on some cigars, but when you get a great draw on a cigar, you tend to pay almost special attention to it. And this is one of those cigars. That's what it did it for me. Now, I will say this, definitely passed the fucking hold test. And even made note in here that it could have probably passed 10 minutes. That's how well this cigar was smoking. The ability to put it down, set it and forget it, to do something else, to run a quick errand, take a nice little bio break. You got to take a number two duker and toy.
Yeah.
To have something that continues to stay lit over a long period of time is definitely nice. It's an added bonus to the smoking experience, in my opinion. So the burn for me was as near perfect as you could possibly get.
What's great when you have these moments of great construction that you don't have to worry about and a great smoke quality in general, you get to spend a lot of time and attention on the flavor and not about keeping the fucker lit.
Right, which is arguably the most important piece of this review process is, what did it taste like?
Holy shit, bruh. Holy shit. Medium heavy spice with great notes of tanginess and smoky and savoriness. Brazilian Modafita is an anomaly to me. There's something about that wrapper type that is so unique in the industry. Something about it. It's beautiful. Tastes fucking amazing. And I think that's where I got some of the savory tangy notes from. But the smokiness was kind of an interesting flavor profile. A lot of people attribute this to like cedary, you know, like tastes like cedar, kind of woody. It surprisingly gave me that vibe, but on a smokier level.
Yeah.
Almost like I was suckling on the cedar oaks in a smoke machine, like a meat smoker. But dude, it gets more tangy as you go. It does, but here's the thing. Flavor's great. Flavor's very good. It does lose a little bit of its oomph at the end, which thankfully was at the about 1-inch mark.
Yeah.
But I did struggle with the flavor at the very end. It just kind of petered out.
Yeah.
Which sometimes happens.
Yeah, it does happen.
But for like 90% of the cigar, it's just savory, kind of tangy, smoky, and has a really interesting, even aromatic to it, which I appreciate. And it just gets more tingy as you go, but it just kind of at the end, but 90% amazing.
Yeah. I thought this cigar was not as spicy as I anticipated for being an Espinosa. Typically, most Espinosa are very full flavored, and they always come with an element of that spiciness, that pepperiness that you get. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's traditionally what you get with most Espinosa cigars, regardless of the blend. So I anticipated and expected that. Not that I wanted to have that experience, but it's what I anticipated. And I didn't get that at all, which is actually a nice change of pace for me, because I was pleasantly surprised starting in the cigar and how well balanced it was up front. I, like you, love Brazilian tobacco. There is a uniqueness to Brazilian tobacco, and it's pretty easily identifiable, I think, especially if you smoke it with the wrapper.
Mm-hmm.
Being Brazilian, if it's the binder, which is traditionally where you found a lot of the Brazilian tobacco was in the binder, it's a little hard to pick out the flavors of the particular binder tobacco because it's a lot thinner, doesn't represent as much tobacco within the entirety of the cigar. But as a wrapper, it makes it very full flavored. I love the Brazilian tobacco used in this particular cigar, and I loved it with the blend of the Nicaraguan fillers. I thought the balance of the cigar was great, and I think what was even great, just being like a full, it's a full flavored cigar, but it does have a great balance to it. It's complex in terms of what you get from flavors, because there is, I think there's like a dark sweetness. I do agree with you as far as like, you do get a little bit of that sense of wood. I got more on the retrohale than I did anything else.
I think the aromatics played a part in it.
There's kind of like a campfire roast to it, which is nice. To me, is a bit subtle, which I didn't mind, but I like the kind of the dark fruitiness kind of mapped out with that, the tanginess of the Brazilian Matafita. I just thought it was a really well-balanced cigar. And the only thing that was weird to me was as I was smoking the cigar, I'm going, I've had this before, but I've never had this cigar. I've never smoked a Laranja Oscuro. I go, I've had this cigar, but I've never had this cigar. Well, where did I have this cigar?
Mm.
And to me, this cigar shares so many similarities to the Drew Estate Herrera Esley Brazilian Maduro.
Yeah.
Which is a cigar that I love and smoke it on a pretty frequent basis. So I'd actually had that cigar 2 days prior to smoking this cigar, and that's what clicked for me. I go, well, this is just the Brazilian Maduro from Drew Estate with a different band and a different foot band on it. It's the same fucking cigar. It's not really the same cigar, but it shares so many similarities that I really think most people could exchange one for the other and not know the difference between the two. That's how close, in my opinion, in terms of flavor, they are related to each other, which I'm not saying is a bad thing. You get two great options and two different cigars from two different manufacturers, but it shared so much similarity that I could confuse myself doing a blind test and saying, well, that's just the same cigar.
Yeah. I think we're in kind of an Apple or IBM legal lawsuit type of situation.
We could be.
The question is who stole the intellectual
Which
property
one came
from
out
who?
First? I will say that the Brazilian Maduro from Drew Estate actually hit the marketplace first. So who knows? Who knows? Maybe nothing was stolen at all. Maybe it would just... This is just what happens in the industry. Can you make so many blends that have so many variations of flavors that every single one of them is going to be unique against everything else in the marketplace? Probably not. I think this is one of these examples. I smoke the cigar and go, oh, it's like this one.
Yeah.
And I've always been kind of able to tether together some cigars that have similarities to them. Like I could smoke this cigar and go, it reminds me of this.
Sure.
And that's why I like it. Or it reminds me of this, and this is why I dislike it. This one, I really went, this is the same fucking cigar.
Yeah.
Which I've never done before.
But I'm just saying, brands, be careful. You might not intentionally do it, but you don't want a Katy Perry moment where you go like, she stole our song. And then you got a cease and desist letter in the mail saying, you can't make this anymore.
That's true.
I'm just joking. I'm just, in all reality, I'm joking.
And I would say in all reality, simply a great cigar.
It's a very great cigar.
I really, really enjoyed it a lot. And I like the Vitola smoking it and that Toro. I liked everything we got. Now, I will say this, weirdly enough that you put it in, I also said that the flavor dulled in the very last part of the cigar. It seemed to just drop off immensely. But I do agree with you, 90% of the cigar was absolutely wonderful.
And I mean like in all aspects of flavor. Like it literally like just what medium spice was there was gone. What tangy and savoriness was there was gone.
Yeah, it's all like, completely
it just blends out every aspect of the flavor.
Yeah, but you know what? If you're getting 90% awesome, sacrifice that last part of the cigar, which I don't really care as much about. So that being said, What about the price? Pay $11 for this cigar. Is it worth it? Is it not worth it?
It's a fucking Toro, and it comes with an extra little bit of satin band on the tip.
Yeah.
You know they got to add a dollar to the price point when they add that little band at the foot.
Yeah.
Honestly, $11 coming at you. It's for 90% of the cigar, it's an amazing cigar. It's beautifully made. Amazing burn. When you have such a good experience as I did, $11 is more than fair. To me, $10-$11 for it. It is a Toro 6x52. It's worth it.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
I agree that it seems to me paying $11 for the cigar is totally appropriate.
Yeah.
Again, it's a 6x52, so it's a little bit larger cigar in that Toro size. And it's a little bit more of a fat donger, so not a Toro in a 6x50, but a 6x52. So it's got a little girth to it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, being the smoking experience overall, how well it burnt and with the flavors, absolutely worth $11. I thought the cigar was great for $11, as a matter of fact. I didn't give it a pricing bonus or a delta, but I thought it was appropriately priced and definitely a good deal, good value.
Mm-hmm. 100%, bro.
So where does that put your score? Categorically, where did you rate the cigar in each category?
10 out of 10 construction, 20 out of 20 for burn, and burn was fucking amazing. And 26 out of 30 on flavor. I thought it was amazing. I might have even given it a 27 because I really did love the flavor. But that last little bit, sometimes I do want the finger burner, right?
Right.
If you're going to get a 27 from me, it's finger burner. You know? It's got to be something I'm like, I want more.
Of course.
I don't want to end like,
Yeah.
So, but that said, 26 out of 30. I thought the price was appropriate. Mine comes in at a 93.3%.
Holy shit. So we'll round that up to a 93.5, which is a hell of a score for the first cigar of the year, the first cigar we've smoked in 2020. In the category of construction, I give this a 9 out of 10 because of the cap issues. I gave it a 20 out of the burn because the burn was absolutely fucking superb. And I also gave it a 26 out of 30 for the flavor, which I thought was awesome, but also could have been a 27. But in the same thing that you did and the same reality around the cigar dulling towards the end, I rounded it down to a 26. Thought that was preference since we still had about roughly an inch left to go in the cigar. Mm-hmm. I thought 26 was appropriate. And that gives me a final score. Oh, by the way, no pricing bonus or delta, which I have already stated. That gives me a cigar total of 91.7, which round up to a 92%.
92. So like a 92.75, 92.8.
A 92.75 is where we will round out this score for this particular cigar.
It is it's awesome to see Espinosa put out two really good cigars. I thought the Laranja was exceptionally good. A surpriser for me.
I don't think it was as good as this one.
No, it's but
the original is not as good as the Escuro, in my opinion.
But it was good for Espinosa. Like, I thought the Laranja, beautiful wrapper, very fucking unique. And then they come out with this one. I'm like, yes, this is like the successor. This is the next level of evolution.
Yeah.
It's fucking great, dude. And that Brazilian Modafita, hands down, is probably the MVP of this cigar.
And I will say this. You can continue on the Laranja name. Try a different blend long term. I think that would be kind of cool. I think this cigar is so good that it's like I'd almost like to see other iterations of a particular Laranja cigar that maybe utilize the same filler type, but may change variances in the wrapper type or whatever it may be. I'd just like to see the additions continue because the two Laranjas that have been presented so far are two of my favorite Espinosa cigars.
Yes, same.
Kind of want to see that continue to move forward, but thought this cigar was great. Totally appropriate in terms of the score. It's an absolutely wonderful smoking experience. This is definitely one that I'll keep in my humidor more often because I really enjoyed it that much. Or I may just grab the Drew Estate Brazilian Maduro. I don't know. Maybe I'll just grab both of them and we'll do like a blind test. We should do that sometime. We'll do a blind test of both of them. And then, well, we couldn't because we know what they look like. I'd have to blindfold you, really.
Yeah.
We'll blindfold Chris. We'll do a cigar science challenge and see if he can correctly say what cigar is what.
I can't even hold it because I'll know it's a box press.
I'll have to hold it. I probably have to hold it for you.
Yeah.
But there you go. First cigar of the year wrapped up. The Espinosa Laranja Reserva Escuro.
Absurdo score. Absurdo.
Yeah, absurdo score. It's like coming out of the gate. It's pretty fucking hot if you think about it.
Yeah.
You know, I was kind of hoping we'd dull a little bit in terms of the cigar that we'd put out first, it'd just be a really ragged score.
Yeah.
Because we're coming off the top cigars 82. Of 2019. But it didn't. We picked a We picked a good one.
I think so too.
It's a good one. I think it was a good start to the year. Now we got to keep pace. We got to keep pace for the rest of the year. All right. I think that about does it.
It does it.
That was fun. Good first episode back, which is awesome. We do have some things coming up. I'm going to, because so many people have asked, yes, you can watch the podcast. I'll actually, by the time this airs, you'll be able to see the last 10 or so podcasts. Minus our interview with John Carney, because we didn't shoot that one in film. And then I also had technical difficulties and another one, so you won't see that either. So there's two recent episodes that you won't see. But for the most part, you'll see all the other ones be available on YouTube. So I'll make sure that I publish and post that out there on social media so everybody can go watch. That'll be available, again, by the time you hear this, it should already be up and live. So
sweet.
It's good stuff. We appreciate everybody listening. Again, wonderful 2019. Great end to the fucking year. Two bomb-ass episode, our interview with John Carney from LFD. And then our 2019 releases, top releases, fucking two just bomb-ass episodes back-to-back. Could not have closed out the year any fucking stronger and hotter than we did. So amazing.
Don't kill me. We don't need making stronger.
We should have closed out with that song.
Yeah,
it is Kanye. Yeah. He's fucking psycho now. he does crazy sermons and shit in the fucking mountains and hills of Hollywood.
Yeah, I know. He was with Joel Osteen. I saw.
Oh god, that guy makes me nauseous. How does Kim Kardashian do it? I bet she's on every fucking drug just to
numb herself,
just to numb everything in her big ass booty. All right, thanks everybody for listening. This will conclude episode 132. We'll be back at you next week with episode 133. See everyone.
Bye.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to the podcast. We greatly appreciate it. How can you get a hold of us? You can get a hold of myself on Instagram at The Hot Ticket Pod. You can get a hold of Chris on Instagram at Hot Ticket Chris. Please also, if you could, visit our website, hotticketweekly.com, for news, reviews, interviews, and more. And please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on iTunes. We greatly appreciate it. In addition to being on iTunes, we're also on Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, Podomatic, anywhere where you can find podcasts. Again, thank you for listening to the show. We'll be back at you next week.